right, you gotta fist bump three people with the biggest smile you've ever given. The biggest smile you've ever given. And let them know you're thankful that they're here today. Biggest smile, like your ears hurt. Yeah, I know. Like you got face, it's stuck that way, you know? Instead of that ugly face you always got told by your parents that was going to get stuck. Let's get stuck with a smile on our face. You know what I mean? So I'm thankful. Over these next few weeks, we're going to be talking about how we can level up in our relationship. And we've been laying foundations for it. And last week, we got to talk about what we got to do when we face the punch out and how that operated and what that looked like. And so we're going to continue walking through this series called Level Up. And what we're walking through over these next few weeks are the songs of ascent. The songs of ascent. And so, if you've never heard of those, just to catch you up, those are found in Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. And we know that they're written by David, King Solomon, King David, and we believe Hezekiah. And these 14 songs were sung while all of Israel gathered together for the three feast festivals in Jerusalem. Okay, so in Jerusalem, what would happen is they would have a festival of Pentecost, the festival of Passover, and the festival of Tabernacles. And no matter where you were in the world to get to Jerusalem, you had to go up. So this is why we're talking about leveling up, is because to the Jewish people, Jerusalem meant the city of peace. It represented peace. And so let's just say in all of our lives, how many of us would like to experience a little more peace in our life, right? Like, so if we all want to experience that, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit that we are promised, then we've got to level up in our relationship with Jesus. We don't level up just to get peace. It means that as we take next steps with Jesus, we're going to be able to experience more peace in our life. And so that's kind of what we're going to be diving into a little bit today. Now, we're not going to get to go through all of these songs of ascent. We're not going to get to all the way through. If we had 14 weeks, we would, but we're not. So today, if you've got your Bible, I want you to get to Psalm 125. And 2 Kings 6, Psalm 125 and 2 Kings 6. Those are going to be the two places we're going to be in Scripture. If you'd like a Bible, we have them free for the asking. That neighbor that you fist bumped, hopefully you didn't punch him. Hopefully you just fist bumped him and smiled. Or you're watching online, and for those who are watching all around the world or listening throughout the week, you can actually follow along with us on the Bible app. It's one of the cool things that we get to do here at the Vine Church. I want to show you how to do that for those that have heard it for the 100th time. I just want you to celebrate this is going to be someone's first time. So if you want to go ahead and open that up in the Bible app, I'm going to show you how to do that. Go ahead and download the Bible app from your favorite app store. And once you do that, go ahead and once you open that up, go ahead and click on the More tab. Once you click on the More tab, you want to click on Events. Make sure your location services are on. And when you do that, you're going to see the Vine TV worship experience. You're going to see Level Up. And today you're going to see the fun message we have planned today. Wheels and banana peels. And when you open that up, you're going to see where you can take notes, follow along with us in Scripture. And just like Alex talked about here at the beginning, we don't just do all this for Sunday. We want to do life with you all the way through. We want to have community with you all the way through. So what you're going to find out on this Bible app as well is contact information if there's any way we can serve you or any way we can specifically pray for you throughout the week, okay? So go ahead and get to your Bible and Psalm 125. As we continue in our series called Level Up, and then we'll get back to having a little bit of fun. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to start in Psalm 125, and it says this: those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. So remember 2 weeks ago when we finished up, I Want to Believe But, we talked about how we can be the house built on a solid foundation, how, believe it or not, in the world that we're in around us, everything is being shaken to where all that's left is the thing that can't be shaken. And we found out that the way that we can do that is living a life of loving God and loving others, and that's how we be who we were created to be. Well, the reason I'm bringing that up right now is for us to continue in that, we have to understand where the Jews are coming from in this, because they're on the way to Jerusalem and they're singing these songs on the way to the city of peace, and they're talking about Mount Zion. Well, let me tell you what Mount Zion means to the Jewish people. It means stronghold. Believe it or not, Zion is a fortress inside of Jerusalem. And not only does it mean stronghold, it means raised up. So if you want to see a picture of salvation, Psalm 125 talks about it right there. For you to experience the peace of God and the promise of the peace of God, you've got to be raised up. So even in Psalm 125, salvation was being talked about. Salvation through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And the beautiful thing about this is even Jesus sang this psalm on his way to the festival of Passover, the festival of Pentecost, and the festival of Tabernacles. So for those of us who trust in the Lord, we've got to be raised up so that what can't be shaken will endure basically forever, which means that we are in Christ Jesus. And it said, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. So in order to experience God's promise, we've got to first have a relationship with him. Even in Psalm 125, verse 1 and 2, it says it right there. For us to experience the promise of God in verse 2, we got to walk through verse 1. It goes on to say in verse 3, the scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. We're all stewards, fam. We're all stewards. This right here shows us how if everything that we have was just put in our hands, it would lead to destruction. And as the people of Israel are going up to this festival and preparing their hearts in worship to go experience peace inside of this festival, they're reminded that everything that they've been given to be a blessing to others, that they're stewards of it. I love that we're stewards of that here at the Vine Church. It goes on to say in the verse we're going to kind of hone in on and come back to are these two verses right here, verses 4 and 5. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with evildoers. Peace be on Israel. Psalm 125. So that leads me to what we're talking about today. Right there in verse 4 and 5, it just reminds us of God's favor, doesn't it? It says, be good to those who are good. God's good even when we aren't good. How faithful is he? How great is he that we get to walk through that? So when I was preparing for this and I started looking about the crooked paths and started thinking about crooked ways, God led me to something that we all can talk about today. And today's a level up message as we level up in our relationship with Jesus. Wheels and banana peels. Okay. This is why wheels and banana peels. If you're in the house, you get it. However, if you're not, I don't want the neck hairs on the copyright fiends to be going crazy when I say this, but I'm going to say it really quietly. Mario Kart. And so what ends up happening in our life is some of us play this game growing up. Now, this game is across, I guess, every platform since Nintendo. I know Super Nintendo is when this came out. But I'm just going to be real with you, okay? I played it on Super Nintendo, but I'm just going to put all my cards on the table as I talk about Mario Kart today. Those of you who are serious gamers and get it, if you're listening online or you're watching online, we're located in South Carolina. I didn't grow up much playing Mario Kart, and it's going to be evident here in a minute. I grew up playing NASCAR, NASCAR Heat, NASCAR Chase for the Cup, NASCAR Thunder. So I just want to tell you, if you haven't set yourself up to be invincible on NASCAR Thunder and become Dale Earnhardt and wrecked everybody at the Daytona 500, got black flagged, went to the pit, ran your 10 laps because everybody else was out of the race and won the Daytona 500. You hadn't lived life. I'm just telling you right now. That's how I did it. My best friend Jeffrey and I, that's what we would do. He was so much better at the game than that when we'd played on PlayStation, but we had so much fun laughing about that because that's basically all we would do. And obviously our first target as Dale Earnhardt was Jeff Gordon. It's just how it went. It's just what we did. So when I talk to you about that, I'm not going to talk to you about NASCAR today. I want to talk to you about Mario Kart. And so I didn't get to play Mario Kart a lot. I started playing a little bit. Like I think I had the game on my Nintendo 64. Actually, I know I did. Had the game on Nintendo 64, but I didn't really play it all the way through until Nintendo Wii. How many folks have played it like on the Nintendo Wii? I think that most of us can say that we did that. We played that on that game. And so I started thinking about this. And I said, what are some things that happens in Mario Kart? Because we're going to see this happen in 2 Kings 6 here in a minute, and we're going to see how it ties in to Psalm 125. Well, first of all, you got to pick a character, right? Once you get the game started, you got to pick a character. Now, everybody has a favorite character, right? Like, if you know me, my favorite character is Waluigi. Like, I don't know why, or Wario. Like, I don't know what it is about those two guys, but for some reason, I'm always them. Toad is too small, and seriously, Mario and Luigi, I get it. It is what it is. You know, I could go through Yoshi. I guess people like to be that. I don't know, but you got your favorite character. So for me, I'm a Wario guy. It is what it is, or a Waluigi guy. It is what it is. So I just want to let you know, once you pick your character, usually you pick a course, right? Now, for all of you that play all the time, I don't want to play Rainbow Road with you on the first course because I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm going to drive off of it the whole time, and I'm literally going to see the music as I play that, and it's just not for me. So when you pick this course, and if you don't know, that's like a crazy course. Rainbow Road is like a crazy course. It's hard for me. Maybe it's easy for you, but it's a crazy course that you walk on. So you pick this course, and then what ends up happening is all the way through, somewhere you have a ghost, right? We'll call that the Holy Ghost. I'm just kidding. Tough crowd. So there's a ghost, there's a turtle, there's a banana peel somewhere, somewhere else in there. There's a lightning flash where we all get mad at each other because we become really small, right? And then everybody comes flying by. Like, all these crazy things happen. And somewhere along the way, somebody wins a trophy, and there's probably a squabble off the screen somewhere because somebody cheated, right? Like, somebody did something. Like, the person who was in last place got carried to first place on the last lap, and they must have cheated to win somehow, right? Like, something always like that happens in Mario Kart. And so when I was reading Psalm 125 and getting to 2 Kings 6, I said, man, this is it. This is what Jesus wants to share today, and this is what Jesus wants to talk us through in wheels and banana peels. So if you've played Mario Kart, you're going to get it. If you don't or you haven't, maybe we'll have it next week where you can play it with us, and we would enjoy that for you to come, and you can see the pastor needing prayer for his anger issues if we play the game. So that being said, maybe you'll get it, but I know it'll make sense no matter what. So how in the world is it going to make sense? Well, today I want to share with you four rules of defensive driving. Four rules of defensive driving. Now, I know there are more than that. I think there's like 12. Some people have 6. No matter what, I want to talk to you about, in our life, as we level up in our relationship with Jesus, four rules of defensive driving that we're going to see as we dive in to 2 Kings 6 that we literally have to have when we play this game that involves wheels and banana peels. So if you've got your Bible today, once again, let's flip over, or you're in the Bible app, just scroll up. We're going to get to 2 Kings 6. If you're in your Bible, just keep throwing left a little bit, and you'll roll up into 2 Kings 6. We're going to lay the groundwork of what's happening here. So as we get to 2 Kings 6, if you know me, you know there are two prophets in the Old Testament. There are two guys I love talking about. And no, it's not going to be Joshua today. Joshua's my dude. That's my favorite leader in the Bible, obviously outside of Jesus. But Elijah and Elisha are the two prophets I love talking about, I love learning about. I always seem to connect with them. I always seem to get something out of their story every time I read about them. So today where we're picking up the story is in 2 Kings 6. What's ended up happening is Elisha is a prophet of Israel. The guy who mentored him, Elijah, is gone. He was taken up in a chariot of fire. And where we are in 2 Kings 6 is the king of Israel is split in two. The kingdom of Israel is split in two. You got the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel. And what ends up happening is Elisha is the prophet over the kingdom of Israel. And in this time, Israel is under attack constantly. The attack we're going to talk about today is from the king of Aram. And what ends up happening is the king of Aram is so mad, he's trying to take over the kingdom of Israel and attack it all the way through. But Elisha, being a prophet of God, is giving the king of Israel heads up at every place that he's going to get ambushed. And because he's given the heads up of every place he's going to get ambushed, the king of Aram is really upset. So much so, he does what everyone does, and he starts looking at the people around him and was like, which one of you people are spies for Israel? Like, what in the world is going on? And his advisor looks at him and says, hey, Elisha, the prophet of God, actually knows what's going on, and he's the one telling the king of Israel that you're going to be attacked, that you're going to be attacking him. He knows you so much that he knows the whispers of your bedroom. How many people would want that in their life where somebody knew that, right? So what ends up happening is because of that, the king of Aram knows, okay, well, if I want to defeat Israel, I've got to defeat the man of God. I've got to defeat the prophet of God. And so where we pick up the story is the king of Aram has found out where Elisha is, and so he surrounded the city of Dothan where he's at. And through this story, we're going to learn how we can become defensive drivers, I hope. Defensive, not offensive. Now, if you're around me a lot of times, I might be offensive driving, so just hang in here with me. But we're going to be talking about defensive driving here in 2 Kings 6. So if you've got your Bible, we're going to start with verse 15. And if you're watching online, it'll show on the screen because we have an amazing creative team here at the Vine that is awesome at what they do. So, verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up, he went out early the next morning an army with horses and chariots surrounded the city. How would you like that with your morning coffee? You get out and you're in the neighborhood and you got lawnmowers all around your yard surrounding you from all the neighbors. They're angry with you, right? Somebody's trying to take over you. And so what ends up happening is this servant looks at Elisha and says, "Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do?" "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So if you're taking notes today, the first point is this. The first rule of defensive driving is this: aim high in steering. Aim high in steering. Aim high in steering. And what I mean by that is last week we talked about our punch-out stance and how we have to see over our gloves. And we talked about how we look out over our gloves. And the reason we do that is how we live that out as an act of worship as Christians is we have to have our hearts and our eyes set on what's above, not on what's in front of us. So what ends up happening when you're driving in your car, isn't that what they teach you to do? You've got to look out above the steering wheel 5 to 10 seconds ahead. Right? Am I making that up? 50 seconds? I'm just kidding. It's like 5 to 10 seconds ahead. You've got to look out above, because what ends up happening is if we're distracted with everything else that's going on around us, the odds of us being in an accident are going to be pretty high. Believe it or not, texting and driving is just as bad as intoxicated driving. We've seen the commercials, right? Like, but it's realistic. Like, distracted driving can put you and yourself, your family, and those around you in danger. So if we really want to live a life to be all God's called us to be, we got to stay in our lane. As a matter of fact, for Mario Kart, what we have to do is we got to prepare for that next curve, right? Like, because you got to, there's an art to how you drive in Mario Kart, right? The art that I have learned is to drive off of the course every time and off of the cliff. Like, that is the art, and I have mastered it, 100. Like, I've got that down pat. That's why Rainbow Road's not for me. But in our life, what we got to do is so many times when we're doing this, we like to focus on everything that's going on around us, don't we? We don't like to stay in our lane. We focus too much on what's happening around us. Like, if I do that in Mario Kart and I'm looking at the thwomps and the chain chomps and all those things, I'm going to wreck. Like, it's just going to happen if I'm trying to do that. In life, if I'm driving on the road and I'm looking at everyone else around me, I'm going to miss something in my lane, right? So in most of the time in our life, what we have to understand is we got to keep our eyes above the steering wheel. We've got to have clear vision for what God's called us to be and what God's called us to do. But yet, so many times in our life, we're afraid to do that, because we're worried about what else everybody else is saying, or we're worried about everything that surrounds us. But remember Psalm 125, what it said. The Lord surrounds Israel like the mountains surround Jerusalem. So my question for you, if you're aiming high and steering, is are you paying more attention to what's surrounding you or who's surrounding you? Because the thing that we can get stuck on is we talk about God as our defender, and absolutely, God is our defender. But I would love someone who surrounds me more than my defender, because it's more than just defending me. It's about someone who surrounds me as something that comforts me, something that walks with me everywhere I go, and no matter what season I'm in, no matter what I'm walking through, I'm surrounded by God. And so today, maybe you're looking like that servant of God at all of the things that are coming against you, all of the things that this world is throwing at you. And today, I just want you to have clear vision and clear focus to see that God is with you, and he is surrounding you if you have a relationship with him. Yet so many times in our life, we can get stuck, can't we? If I pay attention to everything going on around me in Mario Kart, I ain't going anywhere, am I? Most of the time, I'm just stalled. You know, I'm holding that controller, you know, just trying to figure out what to do, or I'm hitting random buttons, wrecking everybody, making everyone mad. But that's just how I roll. But we live that way in our life if we don't aim high in steering. We just get stuck. And we talk about leveling up, and we talk about how good God is, and we have this knowledge of how good God is, but we don't experience how good God is. So if you're trying to live your life and level up in your relationship with him, you got to aim high in steering, and you got to have clear vision. You got to stay in your lane to have clear vision. You can't worry about what's happening around you. You got to look ahead and be prepared for the next move God's calling you to take. Otherwise, you're just going to stay stuck. I don't know about you, but I'm not alive to stay stuck. I don't like staying still. I'm terrible at staying still. That's why that surgery was terrible for me. Like, I'm terrible at staying still. So I'm thankful that I have a God who's good to me, even though I'm not always good, and that I can look ahead for what he has for me. So number one, aim high in steering. Continuing on in the story, verse 18 goes this way. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike the army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, like, this is crazy to me. This is what blows my mind. I'm sorry. I have to stop to say, remember, they're looking for Elisha. And so he says, straight up, goes up to them, says, "Lord, make them blind," and he walks right up to them. How crazy is that? That's like the best Mario Kart ghost move I've ever seen. Like, you just steal everything, right? Like, he goes straight up on them. And this is what he says to them. "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." He is the man they're looking for, right in front of them, and straight up walks up to him and is like, "Hey, I'm going to show you where the man that you're looking for is. You just follow me, and I'll lead you right to him." How crazy is that? You know, so many times in my life, I wonder how bold I would be to tell God to do that in my life and trust him enough that he would do it. That even the enemies, I could point to him, even if they're trying to hurt me, even if they're trying to attack me, even if the things of this world are attacking the very thing I believe, that I would trust them enough to walk up to them and say, "Let me show you the person you're looking for." I wonder if we would do that, how much different our life would be. And what he ended up doing is Elisha led them to Samaria. He entered the city, and Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside of Samaria. Number two, second rule of defensive driving, beware of blind spots. Beware of blind spots. We can see two blind spots in that story. The first one was the servant of God had a blind spot, and Elisha had showed him who God was and where God was around him. But look at this entire army. Like, you got to think, back in those days, cities were big, and when they brought an army to encamp, it wasn't probably just one division around a wall. It was probably multiple divisions circling this wall, this fortress that Elisha's in, this city that he's in, and he straight up walks to all of them and leads them to a different place in a different city. How crazy is that? So what I want to ask you is, what do we do in our driving when we have blind spots to help us with our blind spots? Anybody? None of us drive here in this house. It's okay. They're thinking NASCAR because you don't have these in NASCAR. That's what it is. We have mirrors, right? Don't we have mirrors in our life to help us with blind spots? I hope when I get outside today, some mirrors are getting adjusted. I'm just saying. Like, we all have mirrors. And even in Mario Kart, you have a mirror. Let's be real. You know you do. So you've got a mirror. So if we got to beware of blind spots in our life, we got to have mirrors in our life. That's where life change happening best inside of Christian community, the thing that we believe is so important. Because we have to have somebody in our life that is in our blind spot and is mirroring Jesus to us while we do the same thing for them, stepping in their blind spot and mirror Jesus to them. We've got to have those people in our life, and we've got to be aware that none of us have it all covered. None of us have it all together. We need each other to be in each other's blind spots. If you're driving on 85 today, bless your heart, I'm praying for you. But if you're driving today and you get mad that a trucker cuts you off, a lot of folks do that. They get upset that a truck driver cuts them off. Would you believe that maybe that truck driver wasn't actually cutting you off, that you were in their blind spot? You know that big sign on the back of it that says, "If I can't see you, or you can't see me, I can't see you, stay X amount of feet back, wide right turns"? You're in their blind spot. So maybe they aren't trying to be jerks and cut you off. Maybe you're just in their blind spot. And so today I want you to know that you are in someone's blind spot, and somebody needs to be in yours to help mirror Jesus back to you. Because that's where we can get stuck in our life and get stuck in our walk with Jesus. This is literally, I was making laugh about this. This is where the turtle comes out of nowhere, is when we don't know that we have blind spots, or we don't put the turtle behind us or the banana peel behind us to block the shots, right? Or drop behind us in Mario Kart. Like, in life, we're going to have those things happen. We're going to have blind spots in our life, and we got to understand that we need each other for that, because it's so great to have a friend take that for you so you can go on to victory. You know, you can have that friend behind you take that turtle, or you're like me and you throw it and you end up being the one that runs into it on the next lap. Praise God, from whom all mercies flow, right? That's me. So that being said, so many times in our life, I wonder who we have in our life that's mirroring Jesus to us. Because if we don't have that, there's no way we can level up in our relationship with Jesus. We can't keep going up a mountain and have blind spots. We can't keep taking next steps in Jesus and continue to have blind spots and expect to grow. Because eventually, we're going to crash, aren't we? If we're not aware of our blind spots and not aware that there are things going on there, not only do we got to stay in our lane, but we got to understand that there are things going on around us, even though we're not focusing fully on them, and we need people to help us understand those things. How much better is it, though, that I got a convoy? Like, if I got one of them things rocking and rolling with me, that's going, right? Breaker, breaker, 1-9. I mean, we're in the South. Everybody knows that. Come on, let's get this rocking. Like, you got a convoy with you that understands your blind spots and is walking with you through those blind spots. How much better could you get through that race that God's called you to run? So much better. Verse 21 goes on to say it this way. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." Number three, if you're taking notes, the third rule of defensive driving I want to share with you today is don't swerve. Don't swerve. One of my favorite commercials is that ad where the squirrels are on the road and, you know, the station wagon swerves out of the way and they do the high five fist bumps. I mean, I think there's a couple of different ones that do that. And animal lovers, I'm not hating on animals right here. Just hear me out. Hear me out. I'm not. So before you hate me later for this, here's what I want to tell you in your life. The reason you don't want to swerve is so many times when we see that turtle or that squirrel in the road, what's our first reaction? To swerve, right? Well, let me ask you this. Which is more important in your life? The kids that you have strapped in a seatbelt in the back seat in your SUV that could cause you to flip by swerving, and the oncoming traffic that you can cause an accident with, or that little squirrel that's crossing the road? He's in God's hands, y'all. I'm just trying to tell you, that squirrel, if I got to choose between hitting that squirrel and me, that squirrel's in God's hands. I'm not going into oncoming traffic. God doesn't call you to swerve. In Mario Kart, the art of driving is, doesn't it feel like you're constantly swerving if you don't know what you're doing? Like, the turns are so much overcorrecting. Like, it's not a normal. Like, it's so funny. Okay, so if I get to play, if we have it next week and we play it on the Wii, you'll see me. Like, I even have the little wheel controllers that are supposed to help me, and you'll see me. Like, I'm turning that hard. Like, and it ain't doing nothing. I'm just going right off the course. Like, it's just, everybody's laughing. It's just, you got to know how to do the turns right. Only the professionals can drift or draft, as we call it in NASCAR world, to get that boost, that speed boost through there. Like, I can never do that. But so many times in our life, what we can do is swerve. The king of Israel is literally asking Elisha if he can swerve from doing what God's called him to do. He's saying, hey, can I kill these people now? Because in his mind, and so many times in our mind, we can be the same way. If I just kill my enemies, I'll have peace, right? That king of Israel was like, all of the king of Aram's forces are right here, and they have been delivered into my hand. Can I just kill them so I can finally experience peace? And Elisha says, no. If you were to capture them as a POW, you were capture them as a prisoner of war, you're actually supposed to feed them and send them back to their master. Don't swerve from what God's called you to do just because it looks like it's convenient in that moment. And that's where I think that we can get stuck in our life, is that right there. We can get stuck swerving. The easiest way to swerve to me or spin out in Mario Kart is that cussed banana peel, right? That thing will tear you up every time. And so what banana peels do we have in our life? Because sometimes that's what causes us to swerve. So many times we'll try so hard to swerve out of the banana peel that it would have just been easier to spin out and taking less time to spin out and get going again than like me driving off the course or hitting the penguins or thwomps or whatever in the world comes in my way. Whatever it looks like, so many times we do that. So how in our walk with Jesus do we end up swerving? Well, a lot of times we swerve to please people, don't we? Hey, even in sharing our story, we do that. Could we trust God enough that he has us staying in our lane by aiming high and steering? That he wants us to tell a great story? A story that only we can tell? A story that only we were created to tell? No one else in the world were created to tell it because we're so unique and we're made by him. But yet we want to please people. The thing we hit on last week is the reason that a lot of kids and a lot of our generation coming up and this generation that we have that's going to do so many great things for the Lord can get stuck in college is because we won't tell them the truth of the gospel. We want to tell them the watered down version. We want to tell them how good God is, but we don't want to talk to them about the pain we had to walk through and that pain that God walked through with us to show us his love and reveal himself like never before. We swerve. God didn't call us to swerve. Maybe it's not people pleasing. Maybe you got that down. You're not worried about pleasing people. Maybe the reason you swerve in your life is you're just complacent. You say, I'm stuck. I'm never going to be any better, and this is just the way it's going to be. And so you're complacent. And so instead, you're swerving in complacency so much so that you're stuck in fear. And if we're completely honest, that's the number one reason we swerve. Is what if God really called me to this? Like, what if it's true that God is who he says he is, and he created me to do this, and I fail at it? Fear. We swerve. And so today, I want to encourage you with this. Maybe you see, and God's revealing to you right now that you're swerving out of your lane. You're worried about what the person next to you is doing. Maybe they take the best pictures on this social media platform, or their marriage seems so perfect, or their kids seem so perfect, or their house seems so perfect, or their car seems so perfect, or this seems so perfect. And instead of being what God created you to be, you're worried about what they're doing. Don't. God created you to be in the lane that you're in for this season, specifically for a purpose. And the thing is, will you trust him enough to run in it? Will you trust him enough to drive in it? So much so, I heard it said this week, and I have to share it this way. If you're stuck swerving to the left and right and trying to get out of the lane that God created you to be in, would you just surrender to him? The quicker you surrender, the faster you'll get to experience his love. The faster you'll get to experience being a part of his plan for your life. The faster you'll actually experience having joy in the season and peace in the season you're in. Than all this turmoil of stress and worry of swerving back and forth. Because if I'm driving like this, that's the guy in a traffic jam that I'm laughing at. Because I end up catching up to him just as fast as that guy who went 17 different lanes and caused 14 different accidents on the way to the same place because we're stuck there. So what I want to tell you too, will you just trust God that he created you to be in the lane that you're in? And don't worry about everyone else. Love everyone else. Have compassion for everyone else. But worry about your next step. Worry about what God's called you to do with your next step. And trust him enough. And the quicker you surrender and you say, it's not my plan or not my glory, Lord, but yours, you'll experience having some fun times on that ride. Because at that moment in time when you surrender it to him, you can just be. Man, you can drive that course. You can stay in your lane. You can be all he created you to be. You can mess up sometimes and see, oh man, but you're in your lane. You're going to have a way to clean it up because he's there with you. So would you just trust that? Would you surrender that? The faster you do that, you will experience joy like never before. That's where we're about to see the king of Israel experienced it. And obviously, Elisha did. Verse 23. So he prepared a great feast for them, the king of Israel, that is. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. And this is what's great. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Now, if the king of Israel had killed him, do you think that the raids from Aram would have stopped? Probably not. It probably wouldn't have. But because he stayed in the lane he was in, he aimed high in steering, he had clear vision of where he was going, was aware that there was blind spots around him, and so much so that he decided not to swerve to the right or the left. That's a Joshua message. We can walk through there somewhere along. God called us to keep his commands. Do not swerve from to the right or to the left. But instead, what we have to see is the fourth rule of defensive driving I want to share with you today is this, as we see the king staying in his lane and trusting God, and he got to experience peace, is this, back up only when necessary. Back up only when necessary. Did you know one of the most dangerous things you can do is back up? Did you know that? Into oncoming traffic, believe it or not. When you go to the supermarket or you go to the grocery store or whatever they call it now, whatever the kids call it nowadays, the trade center, I don't know what it's called. But whatever it is, whatever people do everything online now anyway, right? So wherever it is you go, did you know it's so easy to pull in front ways into that parking place, right? But then you got to back out into oncoming traffic. So if you're ever with me, the reason I back in everywhere I go is it's easier for me to back into a parking place and pull forward than to back out. If you know, I've shared the story, Verizon parking lot, the whole world knows. But anyway, I'm just saying, I've been there. Don't back out of your parking place. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And if that was you in your car, I don't know what you're talking about. It's okay. We'll pray about it after the service. But so many times in our life, we got to understand we got to back up only when necessary. The king of Aram had to back up at this moment in time. Believe it or not, the king of Israel had to back up in his life and let Elisha be the one that led the way and pointed him to pointed him to God's plan and pointed him to what God wanted him to do. And so they were in Samaria, and he got to experience peace. And so for us, I wonder how many times we spend time just backing up. How long does it take you to back up in Mario Kart? First of all, you got to figure it out, right? Hit the brake button and keep rolling with it. At least that's how I've always done it. Maybe I'll do it the wrong way. I don't know. Don't point and laugh. It's okay. You can point and laugh. I don't care. I don't know. There's only been one time in my life that I've seen somebody drive the course backwards all the way, and that was a jerk move, I'm just saying. And it definitely wasn't me. So many times in our life, unless you're playing NASCAR Thunder, and then you go backwards on the track all day long. It is what it is. But so many times in our life, we don't like backing up because it's hard. Let me ask, how many gears do you have in your car to go forward versus how many gears you have to go in reverse? You got one gear to go reverse, right? Some of us have five to go forward. Some of us have six to go forward. Have we ever thought about that? There's a reason we have different speeds that we can move forward and only one speed to go back. Only one. So many times in our life, we can only back up when it's absolutely necessary. If we want to level up in our relationship with Jesus, we got to back up when it's necessary. So when do we back up in our life? When we see that we didn't take the next step God called us to take. Sometimes we do have to go back. And we have to humble ourselves enough to say, God, I don't know where I went wrong. I don't know why I'm trying to take control of this, and I'm not trusting you that you created me to be in this lane, and I've been so obsessed with working in the fast lane that I'm not willing to be in the middle lane. But take me back to the last next step you called me to and give me the boldness to take it. And so in your life, maybe that's what he's pressing in on you right now, is you're not experiencing peace and you're not experiencing joy and you're not experiencing the full life that Jesus died to give you on the cross and died to give all of us on the cross, because you need to go back to see that next step he called you to take and get back and get right with him. Sometimes in our life, that's the hardest thing to do, but sometimes it is necessary. But it's not something that we should constantly do. If we're constantly having to back up, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. We need our gears checked. We need something checked. I don't know. Maybe you get around backwards. Praise God and amen. That's how you roll. That's not how I roll. Because I can see when the king of Israel stepped back and trusted that this is what God wanted for his life, he got to experience peace, not the way he thought he would, but the way God planned that he would. The raids from Aram stopped because some prophet of God, a man of God, had the boldness to pray for blindness to people and led them straight to the king. How crazy is that? How crazy is that? But you look at what they had to do when that enemy came there, because you would expect that the enemy would be treated badly, right? It says that in verse 23, it says, he prepared a great feast for them. So he got to know his enemies better, even through this. And so maybe the peace happened in his life because he took the time to know his enemies better than to keep attacking them and keep running in fear. Maybe that's what we're called to do to level up in our relationship, is to spend more time getting to have a great feast with the people who make fun of us for our faith, who make fun of us for what we believe, or who just make fun of us, period, because we can't drive in Mario Kart. I don't know. Maybe we got to have those people in our life that we have to love. And I want to tell you, if you walk through these four rules of defensive driving, not only are you going to be safer on the road, but you're going to be able to level up in your relationship with Jesus. So just to review before we get back to Psalm 125, if you want to learn about defensive driving, I know there are a few more rules I'm leaving out, so don't spam me with all that crazy stuff. You got to aim high in steering. You got to have clear vision. You got to know where you're going. You got to trust that God has you in the lane you're in for a purpose. You got to look and know that you've got blind spots around you. You got to be aware of it. You got to have community in your life that helps you with those blind spots and can see, hey, this is a big blind spot for you. You're missing this. Let me point you to Jesus in this. Let me reflect you to Jesus. Let me show you who Jesus is. Let me mirror Jesus to you in your life as you do the same thing for me. We got to not swerve from the right or to the left. We got to keep God's commands. And I'm not talking about all the commands and the crazy things the Pharisees said keep. No, we got to keep the command that's love God, love others. That simple. We keep those commands, the world will know him like never before. And last but not least, we got to back up only when necessary. We got to make sure that we're only backing up when we need to, because we got ahead of God's plan for our life. So it leads me back to verse 4 and 5 from Psalm 125. And this is the best thing about good old Mario Kart. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that. I don't want to live in banishment. I definitely don't. I don't want to live in crooked ways. You know, Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and he talks about the path that he has. In Isaiah, he talks about he makes the crooked path straight. Those who are righteous will be able to walk on straight path. And I don't know about you, but a straight road is a lot easier to drive than one that's crooked, ain't it? I don't have to worry about so much. As a matter of fact, I can see the things that are coming at me. I cannot hit the brakes unless I absolutely have to because it's a straight shot. We love saying that. You ever, down here in the South, isn't that how we give direction? It's a straight shot, and you got four turns. Like, what the world are you talking about? That's not a straight shot, right? Straight shot. I want to be on a straight road. So we talked a little bit about defensive driving and some banana peels. Let me get to really what I wanted to get the meat of today. And we got another 2 hours in this. I'm just kidding. We don't have that long. Just an hour and a half left of the message today. I want to teach you a little bit of Hebrew. We down with that? Can you do that? So if you want to look this up in your time, in your spare time, I'm going to give you the word, but you can fact check me on it. It's Strong's H212. If you ever go and you do Bible commentaries, or you like to read a concordance, or you just like to dive in to see and learn some words of the Bible, and you get to see the translation of the Bible before we brought it into English, the word I'm going to give you is ophon. Everybody say that with me. One, two, three. Ophon, ophon. Perfect. They said it. I counted too fast. Ophon, one, two, three. Yeah, not orphan. I did it right. I was so proud of myself that I didn't do it right. Ophon. So if you look that up, it's Strong's H212 is what it is. You can check me on that. If you look up the translation for that, what's the thing that you have to have on the cart to go in Mario Kart or on your car to go? You got to have some wheels, right? You got to have a wheel. So ophon is the Hebrew word for wheel. Now, when you look that up, it's going to bring you to Ezekiel, which is awesome. We'll talk about that one day, and we'll talk about what the wheels mean in Ezekiel 1 and how it's actually the temple and how it's heaven and earth, but that's not what we're going to dive into today. But if you ever want to read that and talk, give me a shout. Wheels to the Hebrews and to the Israel people meant something different than we think of wheels. That's the difference. You see, wheels to the people of Israel, to the Jewish people, actually means cycles. Cycles. So I'll put it to you this way. In our Western thought, in our way of thought, what ends up happening is when we walk even on a path, when we walk on a path and we see a tree over here and we pass the tree, once it's behind us, it no longer exists to us. That's just that we're a consumption society. That's it. Like once I pass this tree on the way, it no longer exists to me until it shows up on my way again. Like it's not anything. It doesn't have any significance. It's just a tree. And then we pass a tree again along the way and we say we passed a tree. And then we pass a tree again along the way and we say we passed a tree. So much so all of those things that are behind us just don't exist to us. It's just not anything we pay attention to. It's just a tree. So in our Western thought, everything is linear that way. Everything is in a straight line to us. We think linearly. We think, okay, this tree's gone. I'll talk about a tree when I get to the next one. This tree's gone. I'll pay attention to a tree when I get to the next one. It's not that big of a deal. But in Jewish culture, and in the time this was written in 2 Kings, and in this time, when I'm telling you cycles, here's the difference. In Jewish culture, when they would pass a tree, they would be like, oh, cool, a tree. The next time they came around to that tree, they would be like, man, the leaves on that tree look familiar. And then they would walk around again, and they would say, man, trunk on that tree looks like the leaves are familiar, the trunk looks familiar. And then they would go around again in the merry-go-round. They would keep going around, and they would start learning a lot about the tree, so much so that the tree would have significance in their life. And they would start seeing more and more and more about the tree. The difference between our linear thought is it's non-existent. It only matters when it shows up. To the Jewish culture in the time this was written, and the cycles that I'm talking about in Hebrew culture, is the tree has significance. There's a reason that I keep passing that tree. This is why I want to share with you about this word about wheels, is this. You see, God is a cyclical God. We like to operate linearly, but God is a cyclical God. And so he's reminding the Jewish people at the time, the reason that I talk about cycles is in these festivals, these cycles, they always had those three festivals that they had to go to Jerusalem, always had them, every year, same time. As a matter of fact, the same story that was told at the Passover when they walked out of Egypt is the same story that's told at a Passover Seder today. It's cycles, it's cyclical. And if you don't think God's cyclical, or you want to fight me on that, or you don't think it is, let me ask you, how many days do we have in a week? 7. How many days do we work? 6. How many days do we rest? The 7th. We rest one day. Does that ever stop? It doesn't. It keeps going in a cycle, in a cycle. So much so that we even have seasons on this earth that operate in cycles, don't we? In God's creation, we have seasons that are in cycles. Now, in the South, we've got like 12 different summers and springs. It just is what it is, but we still have seasons. We have seasons. So much so, the earth operates in a cycle around the sun. It is in an orbit around the sun, while different planets in the solar system are operating in their cycle around the sun. What I'm getting at is in our life, these cycles matter, so much so in our linear thought, and as we are men and we think literally as in our Western thought, instead of thinking linearly, will we trust God to think in ophon and cycles? And what I mean by that is, would we trust that God has us in the season we're in for a purpose? That we're just in a cycle? Because you see, what happens is so many times in our life, we get ahead of God's cycle and we mess it up. Prime example, the reason people fight GMO things, genetically modified organisms in food, is it's not natural. And now we're finding out that it kills you faster. Why? Because it's messing with God's cycle of planting seeds and bearing fruit. It's messing with his cycle. And yet we as humans have always had this fascination to mess with God's cycle. It goes all the way back to the garden. Remember? Remember he said there are two trees in this garden. You can't eat from. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Right? These trees, you can do anything. You can pass these trees all the time. You just can't eat from them. And what ended up happening for us and the cycles and the people that we are as humans and the people that we are as man is we actually set ourselves on a cycle. We kid ourselves to think that we live linearly, but we really live in a cyclical world that operates in seasons. Jesus said it's a reaping and sowing economy. He's all about that. It's always a season. We always work in that. But what we did as man is we operated in a cycle and we said, I'm going to take God's plan for my life and I'm going to put it in my own hands. When we're going through our life, getting ahead of God's cycle, getting ahead of God's ophon, all of a sudden, we're in a cycle of sin, we're in a cycle of death, and we're in a cycle of destruction that we can't get out of, and we can't figure out why. But you see, it never stopped there because God knew that there was a better cycle, that there was a better way, that we can never break ourselves from that cycle. We kid ourselves to think we can break out. Linearly, we think there's a 12-step program to get out of this cycle. There's a way to get out of this cycle. There's a quick fix to get out of this cycle. Maybe I read my Bible more, I get out of this cycle. Maybe I pray more, I get out of this cycle. Maybe I sing more, I get out of this cycle. But I'm telling you, that's linear thought. You can't. The only way to get out of that cycle is to surrender. You just got to surrender. Because God loved us enough that he said, I'm going to make a way that a tree that's in your life is going to make a difference. And it is the tree of life. And I'm going to bring my son to this earth. And he's going to live the life you could never live, die the death you deserve on the cross, and love you enough not to stay dead, but rise again on the third day so that you can experience fullness of life, so that on this earth you don't have to stay in this cycle of sin and this cycle of uneasiness and this cycle of worry and this cycle of mess and this cycle of no joy and this cycle of stress. Because that's all that sin does. Is a cycle. But Jesus broke the cycle for us and puts us on a cycle and a path of life. And so what I'm trying to get at today is, what cycle are you on? For us who have given our life to Jesus, are we just going to trust that he has us on the cycle of life? Because when we tell him he's not doing what we want him to do in our life, we can't experience him fully, and we're definitely not living out the cycle of life. We're reverting back to the cycle of sin. And if we've given our life to him and we surrendered our life to him, maybe today you just need to be reminded to surrender your plans to him. Because that cycle of life has a purpose. It is there for our good and for his glory. And we can experience his love like never before. It's not going to be easy. It doesn't mean that the path is easy on that cycle, because we think linearly all the way through that the way up to Jerusalem, we said it was mountainous. It had paths that probably circled the mountain in a cycle all the way up. There was no straight path up unless it probably led to death, right? So in our life, I wonder if we would just trust to surrender our plans and surrender our life to His cycles. Stop living linearly. Stop living that way. Understand that there's a season and a cycle and a purpose for everything. Don't get ahead of the cycle, because when you do, it only leads to destruction. And you definitely miss out on the ride. And when a banana peel is on the way to the tree of life, and a banana peel is on the way on the cycle of life, you get fun. You have fun spinning out. It's okay. It's just a little hiccup. It's not that big of a deal. But when it's continual cycle of life, death, and destruction, we lose our hope. And so maybe some folks are watching or listening right now as you look at your life, and it's just a cycle of the same junk over and over and over and over again, and you can't figure out why. Today you're noticing a tree in your path. You're noticing that maybe there's a better way. And I want to tell you, there is a better way. Because all of us were born into that cycle of sin and death. All of us. None of us could break it. None of us could earn our way out of it. None of us could have the shortcut out of it. None of us could figure out the path on our own. There's no way that we could get out of that cycle. We needed someone to break that cycle of sin, break that cycle of death in our life. And that's where Jesus comes in. Now, what we're not going to do here is I'm not going to stand here and tell you a 12-point formula. I'm not going to tell you. We're going to pray here in a minute. I'm not even going to tell you that it's this prayer that saves you. It's faith that Jesus is who He says He is. Nothing else. As a matter of fact, Romans 10:9 says it this way for us. If we declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. Saved from what? The cycle of sin and death in our life. And now we get to operate in a different cycle, in a different pattern, a pattern of love, joy, peace, forbearance, self-control, gentleness, goodness, kindness, something that bears fruit that will last, that's everlasting, not something that continues to lead to death and destruction. And so today, maybe the Spirit is moving in you, and I just want to point you to Jesus. I want to mirror Jesus to you in your life. We pray as a family in this house for the benefit of those who are coming to the faith for the first time. I want to tell you, today is the day you can break the cycle, because you trust Jesus and you surrender to Him that He is Lord of your life. So will you take this opportunity to do that? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask everyone to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from You. I believe You lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve on the cross, and loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow You step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And for everyone watching online and for everyone that's in this house, I'm about to count to three. I'm going to ask you to respond if it's for the first time you can say you've surrendered your heart and your life to Jesus. One, two, three. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're watching online, there's going to be a hand that's raised. You're going to see a way that you can contact us. You can leave a Facebook comment, or there'll be a form that you can fill out. You can just click that out, because here's the thing. You've given your life to Jesus. It's the best decision you can make. But you weren't made to live out that decision alone either. You weren't made to live that decision out alone. We have people who want to walk with you, who want to mirror Jesus to you, who want to walk with you step by step, who want to be in your blind spots as you're in their blind spot, as you continue to walk in the lane to be exactly who God created you to be. So please let us know, because we want to celebrate with you who God is. And for everyone else that's here right now, I want to ask you to stand up, and we're going to praise. I just want to ask you to really, really reflect and ask yourself, what cycle am I trying to be in? Jesus died to give me the cycle of life. Am I reveling in that? Am I enjoying that? Can I praise His name in that? And I can see His goodness, because that's what Psalm 125 was about. In Zion, they were raised up to experience God's peace. And because of that, they're not walking in crooked ways, But instead, they get to have good things happen to them, the Lord's good things, the Lord's life happen to them. Where are you at in that defensive driving? Are you stuck in your blind spots? Are you trying to swerve because everybody else is around you? Are you staying in your lane? Are you backing up constantly? Hey, none of us have it all together. So as we pray right now, praise the Lord right now in this last song. If you need to pray or talk with somebody today, don't let today go by where you don't talk to anyone about that. Let's worship.
Let's sing this out.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, no, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. She no longer has a place to hide, and I am not a captive to your life. Not afraid to leave my past behind. No, I
So as we wrap up today, how awesome is it that no matter what our wheels are, whatever cycle we're in, whatever season God has us in, that we cannot be afraid, that we can experience his goodness, that our fear isn't going to take over, that we can walk in faith. It doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter what banana peels come. no matter what turtles are thrown at us, no matter what thwomp, no chain chomp, whatever piranha plant, whatever else you get thrown at in Mario Kart, I probably left like 17 things out. No matter what it is, we cannot be fearful. Even when the world throws everything at us, we can see that he that is with us is stronger than those that are in the world and what is of this world. So as we lock it up and pray today, I'm just going to pray over that, and I'm going to pray that for us, that whatever season we're in, that we not be afraid, and that we trust and that we operate in faith, and no matter what, we surrender quickly. Because the quicker we surrender, believe it or not, the faster we'll experience joy, the faster we'll experience his love, and believe it or not, we might actually get through that season faster. Can't promise it, but it'll be in his time. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this time together. Thank you that we get to level up in our relationship because you first came to make a way for us to have a relationship with you. So Jesus says, you have us in seasons and you've broken the chain and the cycle of sin in our life and given us a new hope and a new life that we can actually operate in a cycle of life instead of continually walking in death and destruction. Jesus, let us praise your name for that. Let us experience you like never before. Jesus, let us have clear vision for where you want us to be. Let us have joy for the lane that you called us to be in. Let us see that we have blind spots in our life and that you've created us for community. Lord, let us not swerve to the right or the left of your commands of love God and love others. And Jesus, more than anything, please, let us only back up when we have to. But let us know that no matter what, you have surrounded us. That you didn't make us to walk in crooked ways or crooked paths. But that you made us to walk into your path so that we can walk in life and that we can point others to you. So whatever it is you're pressing on our heart today, Jesus, whatever season we're in, let us have confidence, let us have faith, let us have boldness, let us have trust, because the only thing that we can control in our life isn't anything but our surrender to you. We can't control what the world's going to do to us when we walk out this door today, but we can control how much we surrender to you. So thank you that we can praise you. Thank you that we can lift your name high. And thank you that we can experience you like never before. We love you, Lord. We thank you that we get to do this. It's all for your name and your glory. Amen. Join us next week as we celebrate Father's Day here at The Vine and continue our series Level Up. Might be some Donkey Kong action. I'm just saying. Have an awesome week.